the home team.
And here we go.
All right, so kicking into hour number two, the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff till 7 tonight. Then we'll have coverage of the Braves and the Pirates.
Yeah, Atlanta.
That'll be a 7:05 start.
Got a big 1-0 win last night, Chris. I'm telling you, Ender Inciarte put him there with Otis Nixon going back to the early 90s against Pittsburgh. Did a great job steadying himself. And did I say steadying? That's kind of a hard word to say. But Atlanta and Pittsburgh both left a ton of runners on last night, turned into a pitcher's duel. And the Braves got another lift from one of those young gun call-ups there, which, hey, if they make the playoffs by a game or so, that could be the difference, huh?
So they've got, like, they've got four future 300-game winners off to good starts this season.
Bryce
Wilson. Soroka, Bryce Wilson.
And you got Kyle Wright waiting in the wings.
He's waiting somewhere down there lurking around. So, yeah, much-needed win last night. Pirates on a weird run, too, Jeff, which gets us today's 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Jeff, over under 1.5 runs tonight scored by the Atlanta Braves.
I got to tell you, the stat that you brought up, five straight games, first of all, unless you're just the Bad News Bears and score zero every game, it's hard to score the exact same number of runs every game.
Yes.
The fact that they have given up the exact same number of runs every game is even more difficult to do. The fact that that number is exactly one is even more, it's more difficulter, Chris. I just made up a word. And the fact that they are 2-3 in those games, like I say, unless you've been at a blackjack table and watched the dealer pull five or six cards to get 21 when you're sitting on a couple of kings, stuff like that's not supposed to happen.
In their last five games, they've lost three times by a score of 1-0. They did beat the Cubs 3-1. And then, I mean, so one of those two wins, though, was a 12th inning or it was an 11th inning walk-off home run to win 2-1.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, on the one end, it's like that's a heck of a run for that pitching staff. Five straight games, they've given up one run. And one of those games did go extra innings, and they've only given up one run. But, yeah, the offense, no bueno. And the Pirates now, too, are on a run. What was it, five? They've lost six of their last eight games. They even made that deal and got Chris Archer at the trade deadline. Like, they were still trying, but – it was the Cardinals who suddenly got hot. Ooh. And Pirates are kind of fading away. So hopefully Atlanta can, I mean, at least win one of these next two, get out of there with a series win, and then go down to Miami and obviously sweep those four games.
TCB. And any update on the criminal that hit Acuna?
Well, he threw his first career complete game Sunday. And I believe they've
suspension me.
I guess he's still appealing it, and I haven't heard an update there. But I believe the Marlins did. I mean, they said like he's not pitching against the Braves this week. Yeah.
Or like we said, the other option would be like Don Mattingly just said, "All right, game one, you're hitting leadoff.
Just get it out of their system.
You're gonna wear it. You're
it's still like off. I mean, the problem this year for the Braves though is like they can't afford to have their pitcher ejected or then missing a game. So this will just have to be something they deal with next spring or whenever they meet for the first time in the regular season. Because there's no way that guy can, if he's gonna stay a Marlin, can avoid pitching against the Braves for an entire year.
I'm still fascinated though by that stat. If you think football or baseball. Again, unless it's a zero, like if you've just got a dominating defense or something, to either score the same amount or give up the same amount in five consecutive games.
So what are you taking? You taking the Braves over or under a run and a half tonight?
I got the Braves tonight.
To go over, they're going to score more than one run.
Braves are going to win. They're going to win 2-1 tonight. They're going to break the string.
Okay.
Pirates going to give up two and still lose by a run. But that is just really remarkable. I mean, if somebody would have given you that stat that, all right, this team's going to give up the exact same number of runs, or in football, let's just say points, the smartest bet would be zero.
Yeah. Yeah, to just pitch shutouts?
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of giving up exactly one.
Exactly one. That's fascinating.
What if I told you that tonight's starter for the Pirates was former New York Yankee Ivan Nova? Would that change your mind on
I liked him.
How the Braves might handle him.
I liked him in New York. I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, his last outing, he gave up one run in 6 2/3 innings, and they lost.
Oof.
Yeah, to the Cubs, who have apparently acquired Daniel Murphy today.
And Matt Adams went to the Cards?
Matt Adams went to the Cards. Well, I thought that's where he came from, wasn't it? That's where the Braves got him from, the Cardinals. Now he's back.
Cardinals, Braves, Nationals, Cardinals. I thought he was a good hitter.
Yeah, he got a good little run last year for Atlanta where it was kind of like, because remember Freeman got hurt and they had to pick him up. And, I mean, he filled in well for Freeman for that month that Freddie was out. But St. Louis is back in it all of a sudden. They got 69 wins, and I guess the Nationals have tapped out.
And I'm telling you, though, Chris, the two highlight plays last night, Ender Inciardi's throw home to end the eighth, and young Bryce Wilson getting thrown out 9-3 on what looked like it was going to be his first career hit.
Yeah. Well, he's got that linebacker speed. That was, you know, I got to air a grievance here, too. I think it was Paul Byrd who was working the radio color last night with the other guy. What's his name?
Jim Powell.
Yeah. And so at the beginning of the game, I assume it was Paul Byrd. I don't know who it was, but whoever it was, I think it was Paul Byrd. He said that, you know, Wilson, man, that guy, he is built like a linebacker. Like he could play football at Alabama.
Mm.
And I went, you know what? We got to change that way of thinking now.
Yeah.
Like you're the – and I, you know, the Braves are – listen, they're the South's team, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama fans are Braves fans too. That's
South
something
Carolina,
that Georgia fans – yeah, we share them in common.
Yes.
But still, the Atlanta Braves are in the state of Georgia. So when we start discussing what college football teams that players for the Braves look like they could play for,
mm-hmm.
let's start using Georgia as an example and not Alabama.
Use Georgia number one. Your second option would be this guy looks like he could play linebacker in the SEC.
Right.
There you go.
But if you want to say a specific school, you should say Georgia now.
Yes.
That if a guy looks like he could play linebacker somewhere in the SEC, the answer is Georgia, not Alabama.
And by the way, I mean, just look at our signees this year. It's Quay Walker, 6'4", 230. Cox is, what, 6'2", 245. Adam Anderson, 6'6", 230.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it was Paul Byrd, didn't he go to LSU?
He did.
Yeah. Well, he did. So he dissed his alma mater, then.
Maybe he's down on Coach O.
He might be.
He's got them under 7.
Well, how many years in a row has Alabama beaten them?
The last time LSU beat them was a 9-6 game in 11. That was the first time that Alabama got to play for the national title without playing in the SEC championship game.
Oh, that's happened since?
Golly.
All right, moving on in the 5-5, Jeff, we have discussed today that Georgia – has entered into an agreement for an interesting non-conference game in the year 2022. Georgia will face the Oregon Ducks. Jeff, the usual with these matchups, who will the coaches be? Do we like this game? Who else would we want to see Georgia playing in the future?
Number one, I do think this is a case where the coaches are going to be the same. I mean, Kirby's going to be here for a long, long time.
Mario Cristobal?
I think Cristobal's there at Oregon, unless Coach Rick retired and he wanted to go home to the U. But, I mean, Oregon's, frankly, a better job.
Yes.
I mean, assuming Phil Knight's, their facilities are terrific.
Yes, much better. Their stadium is actually on their campus.
Yes, not 45 minutes away.
Right.
Depending on traffic. So I think Cristobal's got a very good chance to stay there. I mean, I think this guy's a really good coach, and I was looking through some recruiting stuff last week. They're putting together a good class. So I think this is one of those rare occasions. Plus, he's still a relatively young guy in the coaching profession where it's a pretty good bet that Kirby Smart and Mario Cristobal will still be the head coaches there.
Now, I'm a Georgia fan who would prefer if this game is being played in Athens. So
me too.
Should I attend the game in Atlanta, or should I stay at home?
I mean, here, best option would be a home and home with Georgia and Oregon because you got Sanford Stadium, Autzen Stadium, Athens, Eugene, where they filmed Animal House. I mean, come on,
well,
that is college.
And
campuses.
We had a deal to do that, and then when the ADs got changed over, I guess in both places, they both got together and said, "Well, we don't want to play now."
I think originally that was supposed to be like last year, like 17 and 18 or 18 and 19, something like that. Because that deal was struck down before the Notre Dame deal
mm-hmm.
came about. But I think in the end, would you rather play this game than play a softie to open it up? I think yes. I just ideally, I much prefer playing on the home campuses. And we've been through that a million times.
Who will be Georgia's leading passer, rusher, and receiver in that game?
Georgia's leading passer is going to be John Rhys Plumlee.
Okay.
The leading rusher is going to be a running back from out in West Georgia named Tank Bigsby.
Wow. Tank Bigsby will lead Georgia in rushing in 2022 season opener. Okay.
Hey, what was the other question?
The leading receiver.
The leading receiver for the Bulldogs in that one, because I think there's a chance Blaylock and Hazelwood could be good enough to be gone after 21. I would say out-of-state prospect from down in Florida named Leonard Manuel.
Okay. So there you go. So one – okay. So Plumlee, Bigsley, and Manuel.
You know what? Let me take that back. Let me take that back, who the leading receiver is going to be, because I'm trying to think the years. This kid will be a junior that year. There's a kid, the best junior in the state's a guy named Arik Gilbert, A-R-I-K, who starts at wide receiver and defensive tackle at Marietta.
Okay.
He's like 6'5", 230 already. He loves Georgia. When you ask me on signing day – well, the guy played December, then February.
So he's a two-way player in high school, and the two positions are defensive tackle and wide receiver?
As a sophomore last year.
Okay. What's his name?
A-R-I-K Gilbert.
All right.
It's a great defensive line crop that year, too. You got Jamil Burrows, Miles Murphy, and Nazir Stackhouse. I think George will get all three of those guys in state. But just that's just a name to jot down. He's got a good-looking highlight reel, too.
All right, Art Gilbert. So you got him being the team's leading receiver in
Him and Leonard Manuel would be my two best guesses there.
Okay. That kind of reminds me, too. We talked about Wyoming earlier because they play Missouri this season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's a chance Wyoming could actually be better this year, even though they lost the sixth pick of the draft at a quarterback. But, I was doing some reading up something on them. Their leading rusher from last year, they've turned into a defensive end.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an oddity.
Yeah. So not only have they lost, their leading passer's gone, their leading rusher's actually back, but he's going to be a defensive end now, not a running back.
You know, Terrell Davis started his high school career playing nose guard.
Yeah.
So the guy was just so fast.
Right.
He would just shoot the gap.
Yeah.
And I think he moved to running back like his senior year. That's how he fell through the cracks. It's kind of like Fitzgerald running the wing T down at Richmond Hill. They never passed the ball.
Yeah. Well, Dan Mullen had an eye for him.
Yeah. I mean, that's in the woods are filled with stories like that.
All right, Jeff, moving on in the 5 at 5 today. College football's most improved team in 2018 will be blank.
Florida.
Florida overall.
Yes.
Okay. What about I'm going to say Baylor. They were 1-11 last year.
You got to get them to 4 wins.
I think they'd do better than that. Okay. Matt Rhule's second season. I think Matt Rhule's a good coach. Don't sleep on the fact that guy won. He won a conference title at Temple, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. So, they had a tough opening act last year, but there was a lot of bad stuff that had been going on at Baylor.
Right. And Baylor is funny because I had so much respect for that program going way back to when Grant Taff was the coach there. And, Coach Dooley and he were close, and we played some great games with Baylor in 78, beat Mike Singletary and the Bears. Grant Taff's first game was against Vince Dooley. Ray Goff's first game as Georgia's coach came against Grant Taff and Baylor. And he just did things the right way, and little old Baylor won a couple of Southwest Conference championships. Then they got awful when he retired. I mean, awful, awful, awful. Then when RG3 was there and they got good again, I found myself rooting for him. But then, oh, man, they just became despicable.
Yeah, I think they start 4-0 this year. Abilene Christian, Texas San Antonio, Duke, and Kansas at home. I mean, after going 1-11, start 4-0, and then they go to Oklahoma. Remember, they played Oklahoma tough last year. That was the thing with Baylor. Like, if you go back and look at them toward the end of last season, like, they didn't just give up and quit. They had fight through them all year, and, their only win was against Kansas. But I'd look for Baylor to be back in a bowl game at least this fall.
By the way, the big game is next year, the one we've had our eye on for a few seasons.
Yes, Baylor and Incarnate Word. But – I guess Baylor, yeah, because part of the joke about that is like Baylor never stepped out and played anyone good non-conference, and I guess that's still the case. They played Duke last year, and they're playing them again this year, but Baylor still hadn't really stepped up their non-conference game, have they? Because it was always a joke under Art Briles. Because that one year when they and TCU were like arguing, and after that one game, you know, when Art Briles pulls out like this list where he's starting to like, you know, advocate for his team. And I mean, one of his arguments was they had played a non-conference road game at Buffalo.
Right. And I think TCU's toughest was maybe Minnesota.
Yeah, but they were all at home. So right. Briles' case was we at least went on the road and played someone.
Was Jim Kelly there? No. The Buffalo.
That's the Bulls, not the Bills.
Yes, the Buffalo. Yeah, when you got to go to that, you know, that's almost one like when you have a bad report card. Like, hey, Mom, I did make a C in gym now.
Yeah, but that's – so at the end of the day, I'm like, you know what? I'm glad they took Ohio State instead, because you had these two Big 12 teams arguing over which was more impressive, playing Minnesota at home or Buffalo on the road.
You know who I would have respected if they would have played? The team with the best fight song in the history of college football, the Minnesota State Screaming Eagles.
Yes. Then that would have been a check in the box of TCU.
I've found that on, I believe it's Antenna TV, and whenever it's on, I watch it. And the song at the first of it just reeks of college football.
I like there's a cable channel called Antenna TV.
Absolutely. Da, 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 da,
da, da, yeah, that Baylor and Incarnate Word game is in 2020.
I'm sorry.
In a year that Baylor does play Ole Miss.
Okay.
But in the next year, Stephen F. Austin, UTSA, and Rice.
Well, the Roadrunners had a first-round pick last year.
They did.
Marcus Davenport.
Right. Oh, look, they're going to play Auburn in 2025.
Is the Riddler still there at San Antonio, Coker?
No, he's gone. He's been gone a couple of years now, I think.
But they play in the Alamo Dome.
Yes.
Wait, I remember they were on TV when Coker was there a few years ago, and they hung around with somebody on maybe a Thursday night.
Arizona.
Yeah. Maybe it was like 38-24.
26-23.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, that's a bad score. And you could kind of see how they could be good. And again, they're just a state like Texas, state like Florida, heck, a state like Georgia. There are just so many good players. There are going to be some good ones that slip through the cracks.
Yeah, I thought there was somebody that they even picked off, but no. They did win at Baylor last year, won one game. Had a close loss to Arizona State. Yeah, they got their new coach is a guy named Frank Wilson. This will be his third year there. And Coker got it started, and then he turned it over to Frank Wilson. All right, Jeff, finally wrapping up today's 5 at 5. I learned last night that I will have the 9th pick in my fantasy football draft this weekend. Jeff, who should I draft?
And I'm guessing we're talking running backs here. Is that too early to take QBs the way your stats go?
Yeah, running backs, wide receivers. Our league is one of those PPR leagues, which means you get a point per reception. Mm-hmm. So that definitely increases the value of the running backs and receivers. Although, as I did undervalue quarterbacks last year, I did end up with Eli Manning and Andy Dalton as my two quarterbacks, and neither one – I think those two offenses in the first 3 weeks of the season combined to score one offensive touchdown. So by the time the year was over, New York Jets, Josh McCown was my quarterback, who was quite good from a fantasy standpoint.
So too early to say take Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, number 9, I can't go there.
All right, well, let's talk backs. Gurley's going to be gone. Kamara's going to be gone.
Le'Veon Bell gone, Antonio Brown gone. Maybe I could get Saquon Barkley.
Boy, that I just worry about that line there with the Giants. It's terrible. What about AJ or Julio?
Julio had 3 touchdown catches last year. As Falcons fans were quick to point out when he went from being, oh, we've got the best receiver in the NFL, to like, that bum only had 3 touchdown catches last year.
And he dropped one in the
end zone. Yeah, to now it was like, we got the best receiver. Oh, yeah, don't play him in the preseason. He's too good. Don't want to get him hurt. But, yeah, you can't. I can't trust Julio.
No, he misses too many games.
I mean, he's due for – like, the guy's going to catch more than 3 touchdowns this year, but still. I mean, he's been, I mean, even top end, he's only hit double digits once in his career. I mean, about six touchdown catches is where he maxes out.
I'd be a little bit leery of Ezekiel Elliott because Jason Witten and Dez Bryant are gone. I mean, he's really going to get all the focus.
They got that nice line, though.
They do have a great offensive line. I mean, when they took Zach Martin over Johnny Manziel, that, and you know Jerry, you know he wanted to pull the trigger on Johnny Football there. Let's see, AFC East. I'd stay away from LeSean McCoy. He's got the legal stuff going on. I don't really like anybody in Miami.
Really?
No.
What about future Hall of Famer Frank Gore?
No. Sony, do the Patriots just spread it around too much? No,
plus he's hurt.
Like you said, Le'Veon Bell. No, it's Cincy. No, it's Cleveland. Hayden Hurst. That's too high for a rookie tight end.
I'm going to assume
that.
I'll probably have a choice where I could take Melvin Gordon, who I had last year and was good. Dalvin Cook. If I wanted to go receiver, maybe I could grab DeAndre Hopkins at number 9.
I would take Dalvin Cook.
Okay.
I like Cook.
All right. Because I could come around, then I would have the guy who picks 10 then would pick 10 and 11, and I would have 12, so I could.
Can you get your quarterback then?
No, I'd take another running back or wide receiver. I'll wait on quarterbacks.
Could you get Cook and Gordon both potentially?
Possibly. Or maybe I could squeeze out a running back and then also grab Hopkins.
Yeah.
Do something like that.
You know, I mean, because an X factor there. You know, with these, like you look at Houston with Watson coming back at quarterback, obviously their passing numbers are going to be better than they were last season for Green Bay. Although they lost Jordy Nelson. Who did they pick up?
Oh, well, they drafted Jamon Moore, and they also drafted that Equanimeous St. Brown
from Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
So they've got from Missouri.
Yeah, and they've still got Cobb, but they drafted potentially a couple of, you know, decent rookies.
All guys that the Bulldogs have faced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Equanimeous St. Brown didn't do much. Moore did 2 years ago. Jeez. Not last year, though. We held him like one catch last year, right?
But it was Hall who had the 63-yard touchdowns. What about I would guess that the two guys for Kansas City will go high.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt. Well, they got Watkins now, too. Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins. Mention him. Travis Kelce.
What about David Johnson coming back from injury?
He'll be gone by 9.
Okay.
Yeah. He won't even be an option, I would imagine. If he's there at 9, I would have to take him.
What about Fournette?
If Fournette could, I'd give him a thought. I mean, I'd have to, it would depend on if, I could tell you this, I would take Cook, Gordon, Hopkins over him.
Just worry about, I mean, Fournette has the potential to get hurt.
Well, and also, I don't know, he's not as much of a pass catcher. I like those running backs that also catch a bunch of passes, too. And gobble up those, you know, it's a free point.
So, who for the quarterbacks, just off fantasy stuff, I'm guessing Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, and Rivers, are they the top 4 guys?
Brady's weird. Like, he's not a top fantasy
really?
Guy. But Rodgers would be number 1. Probably Watson, Deshaun Watson.
You get the running points, too. I can tell you this, Chris.
When
I first started, I played my junior and senior years of high school, my freshman year in college, a group with the Statesboro newspaper. And all we did, just to keep it simple, it was just touchdowns. That was it. Just if you threw a touchdown, caught a touchdown, ran for a touchdown, and your kicker, your kicker's points. And, man, my quarterback was the run-and-shoot Warren Moon. And I won the league my last year. I retired as the champion there. I pulled a Jimmy Johnson, walked off with 2 rings. Did not accept the Dolphins job after that. But I've got to think he was as great a fantasy QB. I would think Drew Brees would be up there, too.
Oh, and all those receivers they had, too.
Haywood Jeffries. Ernest Givens.
Yeah.
They were just –
Oh, no, they were money.
Drew Hill was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that's today's 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.